We're going to continue what we started last week and kind of go a little different direction. We talked last week about the one who came. We talked about some of the prophecies and how that seed was being built for Mary to conceive the Word and for the Word to be made flesh and dwell among us. And it was really hard for me not to go back and review, but we're having baptism today. And that is, I thought, what better time to be baptized, Marson, than the Christmas season? And when we end today's message, the scriptures that we go to are going to apply beautifully to what you guys are going to experience today and what you're going to represent going under that water and coming back up. So I'm excited for you, and I'm excited to get to be a part of it. Amen. Christ's humanity was necessary. It's important that you realize that when Jesus was born, he wasn't born with a halo over his head or angel wings, or he came into the earth flesh, blood, bone. We know this because he bled for me, right? His flesh was with. I thought about Mary this morning about his skin, how important his skin, his flesh was to me, that he took stripes upon his back so that 1 Peter 2:24 could declare to me, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. And the crown of thorns that was placed on his head, his flesh is important to us. And so when we think about the birth of Jesus, the nativity of Jesus, I don't want us to see him only as the Son of God. I want us to also realize that he humbled himself and became the Son of Man. Why? Because that's where we were, Miss Betty. We were in the flesh, and we're going to read some great scripture today about that. So when we see those nativities, and I am a big fan of nativities, I have one whole section of our fireplace that is nothing but nativities. It thrills my heart to see a nativity. It's also a great time for you to teach your children and your children's children, right, about Jesus. But to realize, yes, it was God. He was God coming to earth, but he came in the flesh. And that's important to you and me because guess what? I'm not just spirit. I have a flesh to deal with. I don't know about y'all, but I'm still dealing with it. But it gives me strength to know that he came in the flesh and that humanity was very necessary. And it should alter my life. How he lived with a body, with a soul, and a spirit should show me how to live with a body, a soul, and a spirit. Sometimes we just skip from Christmas to Easter. He was born and he died. But Lynn, him living those 33-ish years is showing me how mankind can live in a cursed earth above circumstances and situations. Don't look over those years that he walked the earth. He's showing us who we are in him. Because if we don't see ourselves in the picture, we will never change. So what's important about the nativity to me? I'm going to say his humanity. Amen. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. I think every scripture I'm reading today is out of the English Standard Version, but you should be able to follow along if you're in your King James or your NIV. And if it confuses you to read it and hear me read something different, then just listen and then go home and read it and study it in the version that you learn and glean the most from. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. We're kind of, you got to jump in the middle here. But get this first sentence. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things. He had to come where I was. We were in flesh and blood. to get to me, I couldn't get to him. I had the sin nature. He came to where I was, flesh and blood. He partook of the same things that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Look, if we get the flesh out of the way, the fear that comes through the flesh out of the way, there's nothing we can't overcome. There's really not. And he says that through death he destroyed the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Everybody say, I am the seed of Abraham. Therefore, you know what my dad would say right there? When you see the word therefore, look and see what it's there for. It's a great rule of thumb. It's a simple, funny truth, but every time I see the word therefore, I'm like, oh, therefore, because he has come in flesh and blood to share that flesh and blood with us and partake of this life. And then through his death, he destroyed, really, he put to death the flesh and delivered us from that lifelong slavery of fear of death. He's not here to help the angels. He's here to help the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers. He had to be made like us. Now, we talked about this on Wednesday night. I can't remember if we talked about it in here last Sunday, but yeah, we did. Think about who came, what he came, the atmosphere, the realm, the glory, the majesty, the thrones, the angels singing, holy, 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 the beauty, the perfectness of the realm of heaven that he willingly stepped out of. You can't look at a nativity now if you can grasp that alone and not realize you are loved. Amen. You are chosen. You are seen. You are felt. You are understood. What? You are understood. I'm not saying justified in our actions. I'm saying we're understood. We'll read it through the scripture. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Everybody say, he helps me when I'm tempted. Because he was tempted. Oh, ooh, we had a little kick back there, didn't we? He was tempted. Anybody heard in Luke the temptation of Christ? He didn't sin, but he was tempted. I need to know that. I don't have a high priest that doesn't understand. I have a high priest that's been here, that's walked this earth, that's dealt with humans. That's dealt with the flesh. He was hungry. Therefore, what did the enemy tempt him with? Turn this stone to bread. Oh, if you are the Son of God. Turn this stone to bread. Why? Because he was hungry. That's tempting. Anybody ever been hungry? Might not should talk about that. Well, we can. Till about 30 minutes from now, we won't want to talk about that. He was tempted because he was in a body. He became the Son of Man. Yes, he was the Son of God, but he also called himself the Son of Man. That's because he chose to come here and share in flesh and blood. Go to Hebrews 4. See, people back off from Christianity because they're not perfect. And they forget that we don't have a high priest that's sitting up there in a high and mighty robe, not understanding flesh. First of all, do we not remember John 1:1 from last week that he was there in the beginning? that he was there when man was formed out of the dust of the ground? In fact, the scripture tells us that God is so aware that we were made of dirt, that's why we're not consumed. He knows we have flesh. He's willing to work with us. That's Hebrews 2 is all about. He himself has suffered when tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. It's important that he was in the flesh. Hebrews 4:14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. See, religion makes people shy away from the throne of God. Jesus, Christianity, makes people come knowing they have a high priest who has walked this earth, and that not that he okays their temptation or their sin, but that he will help us. There's just days I need help. Well, probably every day, but some days are better than others, right? I love Sundays because there's just not a lot that happens on Sundays that where I go, oh, other than this. Help me. You know, help me. Help me give your word out accurately. I love the book of Hebrews. I encourage you, if you deal with any shame, guilt, sin consciousness, that you read the book of Hebrews, that you read about how the blood of bulls and goats just would not take care of the root problem. It was a covering. It was temporary. They had to do it every year, and they were constantly conscious of their sin, which is what the law of Moses did. It made us conscious of sin, but Jesus Christ came. We're going to get into some scriptures that are going to, man, if we can get a hold of the fact that he has set us free, that his blood, I'm telling you, his blood is still doing its work on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. You know, when Jesus died and when he was resurrected, he went into the Holy of Holies and he didn't present the blood of bulls and goats. He presented the blood of Jesus Christ, the pure blood from the spotless Lamb of God, the one that we celebrate, his birth being taking on flesh and blood so that he could spill that blood for me, so that the spotless blood, the Lamb of God, could be sprinkled and poured out on the mercy seat so that I don't have to live in sin consciousness anymore. I can live in righteousness, not because I'm perfect, but because I serve a perfect Savior who gave himself for me and gave me the gift of his standing with God, which we call right standing righteousness. That makes me want to live different. It empowers me to live different because I know this. Because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. I do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with my weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as I am, yet without sin. Let me therefore with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that I may receive mercy and find grace to help me in the time of need. That pushes me to God, not away from God. Does not give me a license to sin. It empowers me to change. I know, it's a good day. Let's go to Philippians 2. We're going to peek a little above, starting in Philippians 1, just because y'all know the scripture was not written in chapter and verse. And so it was mainly letters, especially Paul's writing was mainly letters. And so they gave us chapter and verse so that we could reference and find things. It's the same thing if you go to a legal deposition or anything like that and it's transcribed and written and it's got paragraphs numbered and lettered and so that you can go back and reference things. That's what this is. So when a verse starts off and it says something like so or therefore, you're going to look and see what it's there for, right? So Paul is writing to the saints at Philippi, and in chapter 1, we're just going to kind of kick in verse 27 so we get where he's coming from. It says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. When I read that, I just thought, man, does this change us? You're talking about human beings with flesh and blood and souls that are working on being renewed, standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That's miraculous. If you've ever lived in a home with anybody, that's miraculous. And not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction. Man, if we as the body of Christ could get united, not agreeing on everything, but united, it would be a clear sign to our opponents their destruction. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. They were persecuted for believing in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. That's miraculous. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. What? Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, or he did not eagerly seek to retain that glory. But he emptied himself. Whew. Okay, you got the picture? Glory, heaven, angels, holy, 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 thrones. He emptied himself. Cute little baby Jesus was a big deal. That flesh was a big deal. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Where do we even start and where do we even stop reading this? In the middle of this is where I wanted to go, but then I thought, he came and he walked this earth so that we could have the mind of Christ. So that we could have this same mind in us. That we would not be after selfish ambitions. That we would not be after conceited things of vainglory. That we would not have our minds only on ourselves, but we would have our minds on the interest of others. We can only do that because we saw Jesus Christ do it in the flesh. If he only did it as a spirit, then we would excuse ourselves from it. I'm just a human. You're just human. Jesus took away all my excuses for my selfishness. He took away all my excuses for, oh, did we get that one? Grumbling. You know what grumbling is? I need to think about that when I'm grumbling. Let this mind be in you, Susan. That was also in Christ. What about disputing? Do you have to dispute everything? Do we have to argue every statement? Do we have to argue every call that the umpire makes? That the referee makes? Aunt Pam, I'm talking to you. Any Dardanellen lizards, sand lizards in the house? Congratulations on second. You're first in our book. But do we have to argue every? When you look at the humbleness of the one who came from the glory of heaven, who walked in flesh and blood, led by the Spirit. He was anointed of the Spirit. We know that. We saw that when he was baptized by John. But when you look at the humble nature of his mind, a lot of this other stuff will fall off of us. Because he asked us to have that same attitude. Christmas is beautiful, but it should also be challenging. Because the truth is, the truth of his obedience and humility and entering humanity should change me. It should change me. Jesus coming down, clothing himself flesh and blood, die for us, pay our penalty for sin so we could live righteous. We could have right standing with the Father. It should change me. And I see people and maybe even myself sometimes would, and I just don't say it out loud, wonder if, you know, just how close to the edge is this to wrong? When somebody approaches me and they say, is it wrong to, I'm just going to start saying, nothing. Because when your brain says, is it wrong to, you know it's questionable in the, and you're not wanting to look. And you really don't want to hear my answer. Because I have to go to the Word of God for myself and the things I deal with, Linda. If it's gluttony, the season is here. The season of gluttony. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. Valentine's, could they add more thing, more chocolate? Could we have another chocolate holiday? I mean, gluttony, that is, it's listed. I need to have self-control. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So I can sit up here and make up things about y'all, but I have to go home and look in the mirror. And when I look in the mirror, you know what I want to see, ladies from Ladies Agape? I want to see Christ in me, the hope of glory. Because if we don't see ourselves in the picture, we will not change. That's really today's message in a nutshell. Jesus, in his 33-ish years on this earth, lived as a man. He called himself the Son of Man. He was the Son of God, but he was the Son of Man. And he showed us how we could live in this earth in these bodies as children of God. It's as important as his birth. It's as important as his death and his ascension. If we did not have that example, then they would be great accounts of great things, but they wouldn't change our lives. But his example of him walking this earth in a body, I'm thankful. I'm not flesh only. Because of Jesus Christ, I am not just a body and a soul. I have a spirit that's alive to God. He can communicate to us through it. He can nudge me. He can give me direction through my spirit. I'm filled with his Holy Spirit. And because he took on flesh, I can't use the excuse anymore that I'm just human. That's for somebody in the house. We got to quit saying I'm just human, because you're not just human. You also have the Spirit of God, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God that lives and abides forever, is what you're born of. Your flesh may still have weaknesses, but you can overcome those weaknesses. Amen. You have a high priest that will help you. That baby, that word made flesh, is a powerful picture. But I have to associate with it. Associate with him. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. I feel preachy this morning. I love this season. Rusty and I went out, what was that night? Friday night? We had been over at the coffee shop, and we walked over to Russellville celebrating Christmas over at the train depot, and all the lights and all the people and the live nativity, and praise God that the church does that. That is beautiful. I'm thankful that our city celebrates the birth of Christ. And I just kept looking at Rusty going, I love this place. I love these people. I love this community. I love that we live in a conservative community where we can sing Christmas carols that talk about Jesus, and we can say Merry Christmas without getting shot at. I mean, you ought to just say it all the time. You ought to just drive people bonkers with it. Just like, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Man, we're blessed. Christ the Savior is born. Amen. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men. What's he talking about right there? One trespass. Adam, right, the fall of man in the garden. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men. Now, this is an important statement. And I've had this conversation with people here in the church before. And never be afraid for us to have conversations about things that you think I've said wrong. As long as you, I'm like my dad, as long as you come to me with a good attitude, we can talk about anything. If you're going to get on a wrong attitude, then we'll talk a different time. But we got to have a ground of peace to work from. And this has been a question. If everyone that's born is born under that sin nature, everybody that's born by two human parents born in the sin nature, well, I believe, yes. First of all, I just read it. Do all things, wrong scripture. Therefore, as one trespass led to the condemnation for all men, we all need a Savior. Paul, Hebrew of Hebrews, right, had done, well, he said he kept it. He said he kept the law. But he said, I count it as dung. That means crap. Sorry, it's just what it means. He counts it as dung. It's worth nothing. He needed a Savior. He thought he was doing everything perfect. He needed a Savior. If he needed a Savior, I need a Savior. Jesus says I need a Savior. He didn't just come for some. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. The law showed us we needed a Savior. We could not keep it. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. God will never be outdone. Write it down. God will never be outdone. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. By no means. No way, Jose. No, that's not what he's saying. That's not what Paul is preaching. Listen to this. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Everybody say, I've died to sin. Ooh, how's that feel? You're either backing up right now, backpedaling on me, or you're going, oh yeah, that feels good. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? See, if you don't see yourself in the picture, you will never change. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And that's what we're symbolizing, Marson, in the tank today. Amen. The past is the past. Yes. Am I ever going to make a mistake again? But now it's not any of the devil's business. I have a Savior. His blood was shed for me. It's still up there on the mercy seat doing its work. And I can call sin dead. It's dead. I don't live in it. I don't practice it. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised, or as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Anybody got any loved ones that died in Christ? We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Everybody say, sin. You're nothing. You're nothing. Addiction? You're nothing. You're nothing. Sexual sin? You're nothing. You're nothing. There's a lot of other sins, but they're all sin. And they're all nothing once you've accepted Jesus as your substitute. Verse 6, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Everybody say, sin?
Sin.
I don't serve you.
I don't serve you.
I don't serve you. Sin, I don't serve you. I have a Lord. I have a Lord. He beat you. Verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. You were crucified with Christ, right? We know the passage. I've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. I've been crucified with Christ. How do you lay a guilty verdict on a dead man? How much power does that have on a dead man? Nothing, Yucca, because you were crucified with Christ. Amen. Now your life is, Scripture says your life is hidden in Him. Which means if anybody had any power or wanted to try to get to you about your sin, they would have to go through Christ, and He's already defeated hell. Amen. That's a done deal. I'm telling y'all, His humanity is important. It's powerful. His flesh being crucified for me is powerful. Now if we, verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Consider yourself dead to sin. What if I sin? Consider yourself dead to sin. What if I sin? Consider yourself dead to sin. What if I sin? Consider yourself dead to sin. You know what? It'll fall off. But it's when we become sin conscious that we begin to repeat, because we get in the guilt cycle. Just take it to the high priest that is there to help you in your time of need. There's something powerful about that moment. When we know we've done something, to go to our high priest who was tempted, who walked in flesh and blood, had a soul, has a soul, lived in a body, and say, this is what I'm dealing with. And I'm coming boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in my time of need. This is what a good earthly father did for me. He set an example of always being approachable no matter what I had done. And I'm thankful. I'm telling you, I'm so thankful. If you didn't have that, you're going to have to build that image from the God who gave Himself for you. Because it's and dads and men in the house, you need to be that dad. It's important to the spiritual welfare of your children. You better be that dad. Brittany, you got one of those? You better say amen. My Uncle Mike's a good man. And I'm telling you, it's important. Didn't mean to get a fatherhood message in there, but it's a good one. Verse 12. I'm going to give you the understood subject here. You let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. The devil did not make you do it. You did it, the scripture says, because you were drawn away of your own lust and enticed. So when he says you, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. If sin's reigning in my mortal body, either I haven't accepted Jesus as Lord, so I don't have an option but to live in sin, or I'm choosing it. Or maybe I just am ignorant of the fact that I have a high priest sitting on the throne at the right hand of God who's willing to help me. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. This body is to be used as an instrument of righteousness. It's been bought. It's been paid for. It belongs to Him. I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. I'm not my own. Everybody say, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I will not let sin reign in my mortal body. I will not use my body as an instrument to sin, but I will use my body for an instrument of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you. Because you're not under the law, you're under grace. Whew. The flesh of Jesus Christ was important. His humanity is beautiful. His humbleness, willing to give his body as an instrument of righteousness, so that I could use my body as an instrument of righteousness. When you look at your nativity and you see that baby laying in a manger, know that flesh and that blood and that body is beautiful to you. And if you don't see yourself in the picture, you will not change. But if you do see yourself in the picture, you will change. It's not a pressure to change. It's a draw to change. It's beautiful. It's not condemnation. It's conviction. There's a better life. There's a better way. I want to live in it, don't you? I'm thankful for the body, for the flesh of my Savior that was given for me, broken for me.